Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And I know we just celebrated Thanksgiving, a time that we set aside where we can think, get with family and enjoy some food. I know some people, they're trying to spin some of the things that our country has had established for years and trying to change what it means. And to me, it means spending some time with family, enjoying some good food, of course, eating some cheesecake with cherries on top of it, and some turkey, and some more cheesecake. Watch some football while eating some cheesecake. At least that's how it is in my house. Usually my wife, she makes a cheesecake. She makes two that she has. She has the New York style cheesecake, you know, with the cherries on top and all that. And she has this other one. It's a wild berry cheesecake where she takes the fruit into the mix and it mixes together. And it is so delicious. And then I eat it. Most people just have, you know, just a sliver. Mine's like four times the size of everybody else. And Thanksgiving, I was getting my cheesecake and I was slicing my piece out. And Clyde was like, hey, now that piece is yours. The rest of it is for everybody else. You can't take that small piece out for everybody else and eat the rest of it. But I love cheesecake. And it's great. But it's Thanksgiving, though, it's a time also to think back of the blessings that God has done in our life this year. If you think about it, what has God done for you this past year? Our preacher was talking on Wednesday about what we're thankful for. But the blessings of God. We've all gone through different things this year. Some have sent their son off to college. Also off to boot camp. Came back. Now it's up in college. Some of us, maybe like my wife and I, a new baby in the house, maybe grandchild, maybe you got a new job, maybe you got different things that God has blessed you. And when we look back, it is, and I mentioned it this morning in the opening, it is easy for us to focus on negative things. By nature, we are negative people. We look for the bad in every situation. How many times do you hear that? You expect the best, but you prepare for the worst. We're always looking for it. We're always expecting. You know, you got that commercial that the two couple are sitting down at the restaurant, and the one says, "I've made plans for later this afternoon in case this doesn't work out." You know, and the other one says, "I did the same thing." We're always looking for the worst. And as I said this morning, if we look for it, we'll find it. It is easy to find. We can find the negative in every situation. I remember when my dad was deployed to Korea for a whole year. That was back before Skyping and all of that. It was handwritten letters. That was about it. That was back in, 1981 or 80, maybe 83, somewhere in there. It's a whole year without seeing him. It's easy to look for the negative. It's easy to think, well, why do I get to live this year without my dad and whatnot? And then he came back with all this stuff. And then we forgot that he was gone for a year because of all the things that he brought back with him from Korea. You know, but we can look for it and we can find the negative, or we can look back and think about the blessings that God has done for us. And if we think about it, it's not really that hard. We just have to take the time to think about it. And not just once a year at Thanksgiving, but really think of the blessings that God has done. If we're honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that God has truly blessed our lives this year. He has truly blessed it. How can you say that? You're here, aren't you? You could be somewhere else. You could be a whole lot worse. Your health could be a whole lot worse than it is. You say, but my health isn't that great. It could be worse. Well, this and this happened to me. Well, yeah. I was talking about it in our at Eagles Manor last week. I was telling the story. I used to have this 1994 Dodge Dakota Sport. It was the first truck that I financed on my own after I got back from college. I loved it. It was a 5-speed, 4-wheel drive. It was just the right size for me where I got around town, decent gas mileage, but I could use it for different things, took down groceries for camp and stuff like that. And I loved that truck. And one day, it was the day after Great Falls High had their graduation. And they had their lock-in party, and it was that next day. My dad had taken my truck, and he took it to work before I got married, and I was living at home. And he took my truck to work, as he had done on, you know, a number of times, didn't think anything of it. And he stopped at a red light. And all of a sudden, this kid that just got down out of his lockout party from Great Falls High plows into the back of my truck. My bumper gets pinched underneath the bed. I had the cab over part, you know, on the bed of the truck. That part slams into the cab of the truck and dents that thing, and it tweaks the frame, and it totals out the truck. I think I maybe had it a year. That was about it. It's done. It's totaled. I thought, man, why in the world did my truck get totaled? And I got over there, checked up on my dad. He was like, I'm okay, you know, no big deal. And then a little bit later, my dad kept having these headaches. And so they said, hey, maybe you should go in and get checked. Maybe you got some whiplash from the vehicle, from the accident or whatever. And from that, they eventually found his tumor. It was operated on. One thing led to another. Knowing my dad, he probably would have just ignored it. And it continued to get worse. And he did ignore it for a number of years. But it took that accident to jar it, to get him in, to get it looked at, and get that softball-sized tumor out of his head. And it took my truck, but hey, I'd rather lose my truck than have my dad. No, I mean, that's pretty obvious. But boy, even in the tragedy, God was blessing us. I didn't know it at the time. But eventually it came out. God truly has blessed our lives. It could always be worse than what it is. So this morning I wanted to talk a little bit about that phrase, my God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Philippians 4:19. And a lot of people know it and they quote it, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the reason why that's one of my favorite verses is not because of the back part where it says that God shall supply all your needs according to His riches. And that's true that He does do that. But that's not why I love the verse. I love that verse because of two words. My God. God is a personal God. A personal God that cares about the individual. It's amazing. When I go down to camp, Castle Rock, my wife and I will always take one night. We go down with a blanket and we'll lay it out there and we'll look at the stars. And it's nice and dark and it's clear and you can just see thousands upon thousands of stars. And you look at them and you see all the different things and we'll look for shooting stars. And then you get your flashlight and looking around to make sure nobody's trying to scare you or anything like that. We did that once. We had a couple families that went down there. We had snuck around the back and they were down there in the field at pitch black and we ran up on them and scared the fire out of them and they jumped and all that. It was a great time. But I love looking at the stars. And you see all that. And that's just in the northern hemisphere. You go down to the southern hemisphere and you get a completely different set of stars that you get to look at. You get the Southern Cross and all the other constellations that's down there. And we look just at what we can see here in Montana, and it is amazing. And to think that God, number one, God knows all those stars by name. Second, it amazes me in the creation story where it says that he created the sun and ruled the day and the moon and ruled the night. And then it says, and he made the stars also. Just almost like it's on a whim. Man, those things that you are captivated with, God made those too. And to think of those stars and all the beauty that it is and the constellations and the things that goes into it, how they're made and they shine so brightly even though they're miles upon thousands of miles away. And God created those for us. And the God that is so powerful that He created this great galaxy and the universe that we live in, yet He cares about the individual. To where Paul, when he was writing, says, He is my God. He's mine. It's personal. He cares about the individual. Salvation is for the individual. It's not blanketed for a group of people or a country that just says, all right, these people get it, these people don't. God doesn't care. There's no difference for God between the Jew or the Greek. It's the same for He is the same God for all. In our society today, race is such a huge thing and a hot topic right now. To God, there is no race. It's the same for all. He doesn't look at it. He just looks. He likes diversity. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's why there's different shades. But hey, it's the same. God cares about the individual, the specific person. What have you done with God? That's what He cares about. The individual. Psalm 22 verse 10 says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. It cares about him. It goes on in Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The God that created this universe knows you. And He cares about you. Psalm 31 verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My God. Psalm 40 verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. The individual. Psalm 94:22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, God has cared about us our entire life. He has known us ever since we were formed in our mother's belly. Boy, I tell you, right there is some great verses on why abortion's wrong. If God cares about him in the mother's womb, that's pretty logical. As it says, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. For my dad is not that hard. I think I can count them. Then it says, fear ye not therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. He knows when one sparrow falls, and we're more valued than many sparrows. God cares about us. He cares about the individual. He cares about what you're going through. There are some people that believed years ago that God created this world and then He took His hands off of it. Just let it do whatever it's going to do. That's not true. God cares about you. He cares about what's going on in your life. The difference between us and the unsaved is with God. He cares about you as an individual because He is a personal God. God is a God of salvation. As it says in that verse that we read in Exodus 15, verse 2, it says, and He has becometh my salvation. Salvation is an individual act. It doesn't matter that my parents raised me up in church. It doesn't matter that, as far as I can remember, I think since I was 4 years old, we've been in church pretty much every single Sunday. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you know, they've been Sunday school teachers, and that, you know, my mom running the nursery and this and that and all the different things that they do around here. Being a member here at our church for what, 27, 28 years. It doesn't matter. None of the things that they do impacts me and my relationship with God, because I have to choose God for me. My three boys and my daughter. Boy, that's odd to say. They all have to choose on their own salvation. I'm pleased that my two boys, Marcus and Anthony, have already trusted Christ as their Savior and got the opportunity to sit on our couch while we're doing devotions, and how they came to me and said, "Tell me about how to go to heaven." And I went through the plan of salvation and made sure that they understood it. And then I made sure that they understood it had to be their choice, not me. It had to be them that chose it. When Blake was born, I did the same thing for all of my kids. I did the same thing for Lillian just the other day. And I held her in her arms and I said, "Dear God, I pray for the day that she understands salvation. And then I pray that she chooses it." It's a choice. It is an individual choice. They had to choose on their own. Just like I did. God had to become my God. It wasn't the God of my parents. When I went off to Bible college, I didn't have anybody there to help me. I didn't have a job. Didn't know anybody really in the area. Didn't know how to find one. I had to go and beg God and get on my knees. And I remember going into the bathroom in our where I was at in our dorms. It wasn't actually a dorm. It was just apartments that they had because the dorm hadn't been built yet. And I remember closing the door, and I was praying until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. "Dear God, you've got to give me a job so I can pay my school bill. And if you want me here, you got to provide it. Provide the right job that will keep me the entire year." But God had to become mine. It wasn't going to be my mom and dad's prayers. It had to be mine. There are times that things have come up in our lives, and my wife and I, we don't go to preacher. We don't go to my parents. I go to God. And I say, "Okay, God, here it is." Why? Because He has become my God. Because I chose Him for my salvation. What is salvation? Well, there's what it is and there's what it's not. Salvation is not based off of our works. There's scripture verse after scripture verse that goes in and says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it's not the things that we do. It's not the church that we belong to. Well, at our Eagles Manor, I'll say this time and time again. I love my church. And I try to be as active as I can in my church. Because I love my church. But my church does not get me to heaven. There is a denomination that says that in order for you to go to heaven, you have to belong to the Roman Catholic Church. If you are not a Roman Catholic, you do not go to heaven. That's what they believe. That's wrong. There are people that will say, "Well, it's the scale, you know, and my good outweighs my bad." How can you know for sure then? How much is good? How much is not enough? In Ephesians chapter 1, as we're getting over there, it is not also predestinated who gets saved and who doesn't. There are some people that say, "Well, God's already chosen people from the beginning of the world. Who's going to get saved and who's not?" Ephesians goes on and says here, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, if I stopped right there, it would make real good sense for us to say that God has predestinated who gets saved and who doesn't, because of all of those things that I just read. That God has predestinated us to have the forgiveness of the sins and the grace, and we become accepted in the beloved. There are some people that will say, well, God's already chosen it, so why do we have to do anything about it? But that next verse explains everything. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. All of that is predestinated before the founding of the world to anybody who chooses Christ. It is set aside. If you want it, you can have it. God says, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. So it's not just for a select few. It is for anybody who chooses Christ. He has set aside and he says, this is everything that you get, but you have to choose it. You have to trust in him for it. It's not our works. It is not preset who hasn't, but it's simply faith. Well, I was talking with somebody up in the hospital that came up and saw us. And I do want to say thank you to those that came up, saw us in the hospital, and got to see the baby. Thank you for those that have been praying for us, been meals and such. Thank you. Leanna's brought over a wonderful meal. Boys scarfed it down last night. Thank you, though, for everybody that has done that. So I was talking with somebody up at the hospital, and we're talking about how salvation, some people make it more complex than it is. And how, with each person, everybody gets it differently. But it's still the same thing that they've got to get. Some people, like the preacher was talking about when he came back from Michigan, how he had a man that was in that church, Hope Baptist Church, for an entire year, hearing the Word of God preached week after week after week. And after a year, something clicked. And he said, I need that. Some people, it takes them a while. Some people, it doesn't take much. They already understand it. They already grasp it. We were talking up at the hospital about how, you know, there are some people that believe in easy believism. Basically, pray this prayer and get saved. If you say this, then everything will just happen. And are there some people that have prayed a prayer and gotten saved? Absolutely. Because in salvation, there has to be the components that are there. The component number one is we have to understand that we are a sinner. That there is sin that is in our life, that we have done wrong. Oh, that's pretty easy. Well, my boys will admit that. Except for Blake, he's still, I didn't do nothing. Did you? Not me. Because he knows what happens if he says yes. But we all can admit that. There is the sin that takes place. This is component number one. The second component is we have to realize that there is a penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death. In Revelation chapter 20, I've showed so many people that verse where it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. It's a penalty for our sin. Bible says if we're guilty of one, guilty of them all. We are sinners, and sin has to be paid for. We have to realize that. And then the beauty of salvation is the sacrifice that Jesus did. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, and I know that I know I'm talking to a lot of people here that are probably thinking, why are we preaching this? I know I'm already saved. Because I can't get over the fact that God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. Me. He's an individual, personal God. And so when He sent His Son, there's that song, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. He's an individual God. So when He died on that cross, He died. I don't care about you guys, because what matters is me. He died for me. My salvation. Why? Because I needed it. Because if I die without Christ, I die and go to hell. Now, since I have trusted Jesus as my Savior, and since because I don't know who's going to go to heaven, it's for anybody, my job is to get out and tell people about it. And to share the gospel so that they have the same opportunity to choose Him just like I did. Because God loved them so much that He gave His Son for them too. Well, we think of some of the worst people in the world, of Adolf Hitler and you know, some of these other horrible people that have done atrocities in throughout history. If you think about it, the Bible says that God laid the sin of the entire world on Jesus, which means God paid for Adolf Hitler's sin. And if He would have chosen salvation, He could have had it too. Amazing to think that God has paid for all of our sin. Why? Because it's all level at the cross. Anybody who chooses it can have it. And to think that Jesus went to the cross and He hung there in shame and He hung there in agony as He was humiliated and beaten and bruised and He bled for my sin. For me. To pay for my sin that I would commit thousands of years later. And to think that Jesus Christ paid for your sin. This should never get old to us. We should never take that for granted. That we get salvation, the price that had to be paid in order for us to get it. It doesn't get old. He is a personal God. Salvation is a personal choice. We have to choose it. Because that's the last component of salvation. Salvation is knowing that I'm a sinner. Understanding there's a penalty for sin. But Jesus paid for that penalty and He paid for my sin. And now I have to make the choice. Do I trust in Him for my salvation? Or do I reject Him? Maybe there's somebody here today who has never done that. Who has never accepted God's gift of salvation. Well, you get the choice. You accept Him or you reject Him. If you reject Him, you reject His salvation, then you're bound for eternity in hell. You pay for your own sin. Or you can choose God's payment for your sin and accept His salvation. And trust in Him to take you to heaven. Lastly, God is a God that gives us strength. We go back to that verse in Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation." He is my God. He's my strength. For as I said earlier this afternoon, there are Christians that go through and find out that they have cancer. There are Christians that are going to find out they've lost their job. There are Christians that are going to struggle with finances. There's going to be Christians that struggle with so many different things, with how they raise their kids and maybe things that have happened in their life, personal things. I know Christians that have their spouse has cheated on them and committed adultery. I know Christians that have walked away, that their children have walked away from serving God and have rejected their parents and don't want to have anything to do with them. I know Christians that have gone through different things in their lives time and time again. And you know that you can find somebody that is unsaved that is going through the same thing. Well, I think of the Ebolas all the time. I sent George a message. I sent George Mike. It's all the same. I sent Mike a message. For me, the first time I met the Ebolas, I was upstairs and with Heritage Heroes. And the kids were up there, and I was like, okay. And we got Jamie, Jason, Jaden. And I said, all right. And then your mom's Jen, and your dad's name is? And they said, George. And I said, okay. So I always called him George for a while. And then next thing you know, preacher's up here and says, oh, it's good to have Mike. And I was like, it's George. Then he's like, no, it's Mike. But I sent him a message on Thanksgiving. I just said, hey, thank you so much for serving our country. I was tough getting away from your family. I can't wait for you to get back to you. See, I'm going all this time without their parents. Hey, do you know that he's not by himself over there? There are people that are unsaved that are going through the same thing. But the Lord is my strength. In every situation that we go through, the difference is, it's not that God says, I'm going to take all these things away so that you don't experience them once you trust Christ as my Savior. That's not the promise that God gives. The promise that God gives is that He will be our strength through them. I've been reading Psalms to my boys at night. They get in bed and I get in there and I read them about 5 or 6 verses. And the reason why we started that is because Anthony starts getting his fears. And so Charlene had the idea. She said, man, why don't you just read them some Psalms before they go to bed? It's amazing how his heart just kind of gets relieved. And time again, as you read that, the Lord is my strength. And it says, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my high tower. He is my rock. Because God is there to provide us that strength when we don't have the strength. He is there to provide us that safety when we need it. He is there that we can lean on Him and say, hey, that is my God. And He looks down and says, that is my child. Love that verse in the Bible where it says, where we cry, Abba, Father. Abba just means that term of endearment. He's not just some almighty, high, powerful God that stays up in the clouds, although He is that. But He is also that individual God that cares about you and provides you that strength and is there to go with you through your struggles, through your trials, through your hardships, through everything that you've gone through this year. He has been there beside you. No matter what obstacle we get faced with, He is there to be our strength. When all hope is lost, we have Jesus. When everything seems like there's no hope. When times get tough, there's Jesus. We can turn to Him and He is waiting to just give us that comfort that only He can provide. All we have to do is just trust in Him. He's already provided for us. He's already given us the promise that He's going to be there. Just like with salvation, we have to just accept it. So many times, though, we want to try and do it on our own. Well, it's fun with boys in the house. I'm sure it's going to be different with this daughter, but boys are so independent. You know, Blake, he'll sit there and he'll be trying to do something and do you want me to help you? No, I got it. No, I want to do it. 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 And then finally, Daddy, can you do it? I need help. Boy, isn't that how we are as Christians? I want to do it. I want to figure out this on my own. Finally, we get to the point where we say, okay, God, I need you. Oh, if we'd only turn to him sooner, sure it would make things a whole lot easier. God is our strength and our salvation. Why? Because he is a personal God that cares about you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would be with us today. Lord, I don't know what everybody is facing. I don't know the struggles and the trials that people go through. It's easy for us to hide those and keep them away from everyone. But when we get alone, they're still there. Lord, I don't know what everyone's facing, but you do. And Lord, that's why you can be their strength. Lord, you can be that one that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, that you can be their refuge, place that they could go to for safety. Lord, I know there may be somebody here today that has never chosen you for salvation. Lord, today they can make that choice. They could lay their head on their pillow tonight knowing for sure that they're on their way to heaven because you've already paid the price for their sin. They just have to accept it. Their heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. We're going to have a short time of invitation. Nobody's going to pry into your life or anything like that, but just a short time of invitation. Number one, I just want to ask the question, if you were to die today, are you sure that there's a place prepared for you in heaven? One of the saddest verses in the Bible is in Revelation, where it says, and there was found no place for them, because they had never chosen salvation. They never said, I want to choose Christ. There was never that moment where they put their faith in God. They went to church, maybe. They tried to be the best they could be. But they never put their faith in God. If you're like that today, you say, that's me. I've never had that moment where I put my faith and trust in Jesus for my salvation. I'd like to pray for you. If you'd like that, I'd just like to, if you just raise your hand, I'd like to pray for you. I don't know if I'm for sure I'm on my way to heaven or not. Would you pray for me? Maybe you're going through something today and you just need to rely on God for your strength. Maybe you'd like to just come to the altar and pray. I ask everyone to stand to their feet, their heads bowed, nobody really looking around. The piano's going to begin to play. Maybe you need to come forward and just kneel at the altar and bear your burdens to God. The altar's open. Nobody's going to come and ask why you're coming or pry in and try to see what's going on. It's between you and God. God is my strength. What are you facing today that you're trying to do it on your own? Time to give it to God. Maybe here today, like I said, you've never had that time where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. For me, I was an 8-year-old boy sitting in junior church. I knew that I'd never done it. I knew that I didn't have a place that was prepared for me. I stepped out of my seat and I walked down, and a man named Shel Smith took me and my best friend James to a side room and showed us from the Bible how we could know for sure we're on our way to heaven. Ever since then, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have a place that is prepared for me. Do you have that? If not, I invite you to meet me down at the front here. We'll take you in, show you from the Bible what God says. Not what man thinks, but what God says. Maybe you're here today and you've never been baptized. Down in the water, back up out of the water after you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And today we've got water ready. We can do that. Maybe you're here today and say, I'd like to become a member of this church. This is where I'd like to call my home and be a member here. God is my strength. He is my salvation. He is my God.
Dear Lord.
Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now. Lord, thank you for meeting with us. Lord, we know it, and it's because of your word that gives us comfort. It is because of how you move in our hearts, Lord, that stirs us and changes us. And I pray, Lord, that you would go with us now as we go our separate ways. Bring us back together tonight. In your name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.